Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice who will make all of us women stop blending everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. So hello, Nicole. I heard a little cough before you came on the air. I know we seem to have a lot. Everybody seems to have a cough or something or other going around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my lovely, gorgeous little nephew, Jaden, had an upper respiratory infection around Christmas time. And, of course, you know, everybody is taking care of him because he's, you know, one. So, you know, he needs to be taken care of. And he's also my godson. So, you know, I had an extra hand in, you know, handling him around the holidays. And then shortly thereafter, I felt a little something coming on. And I thought I was going to be able to free myself from it. And, this week especially. It was a horrible week. So I went to the doctor and I have a very, very lovely upper respiratory infection. So
yeah, did you get some antibiotics?
Yeah, they gave me antibiotics, but honestly, I really don't think that they're working very much. Like they kind of like loosened everything up, but I'm on my last pill tomorrow and I'm really not sounding that great. So I'm going to have to go back.
I know, because Shauna has the same thing. So, that I almost never get sick, and I had, fortunately for me, I did get a little stuffed nose, and I think I was blessed to get the little stuffed nose because I think it prevented me from getting the worst cold that was going on, you know. I'll take the little stuffed nose.
Yeah.
I'll have that.
You're lucky. I'm packing up. I haven't slept in days.
Yeah, well, that's what people say. It's a kind of cold that keeps you up. So I think that's probably what is not making you get better, like, because, you know, you need to sleep. But if you're not sleeping, it's like,
well, it's also, too, like, I could probably go to sleep and just hack in my sleep. But the problem is that my wife has her, you know, as I've explained before, you know, she's trying to get into the union. And in order to do that, there's a very, very vigorous testing that they have to do. And of course, as I'm getting sick, and as my sister-in-law went on vacation and left the baby with me for the week, you know, she has her practicals, her practical exams. So these are tests that she's been studying for months. And, you know, they're very, very stressful. They're very, very draining on her. So, you know, I don't want to sit in bed and just sleep and be hacking up a lung and keep her up all night knowing that she's got these important tests to do, you know, the day after. So, you know, I've been sleeping very, very light. And whenever I hear a coughing fit come on, I've, you know, gone into like another room so that I can just cough my brains out without having to affect her so that she could get her rest so that, you know, she does well on these tests.
Ah, well, you're a good wife, you know. I'm giving you a big round of applause for being a good wife.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, that's because, and what they're saying is that the flu that's going around is like a spring flu because it's like so warm. So thank God it got a little bit colder because I know a lot of people hate cold weather, but we need cold weather. We need to get ground frozen. We don't want to have such bad tick infestations, and we don't want hurricanes in September, October, November. So we need this cold.
Don't.
So let's bless the cold right now. And you know, I predict you're going to feel better by next week's radio show. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you.
And I always hate when I hear anybody sick. You know, I always, like, as an empath, I feel so bad for them. You know, like, oh, I don't want anybody to be sick. You know, is very hard.
It's not fun. It's all good. It's all good.
I know. That's why whenever he kept me saying, oh, you're a little sick, I go, no, I have a stuffed nose. I'm, like, really good compared to everybody else. I'm not even saying I'm sick. I had a stuffed nose, and it didn't ever go down to the respiratory, which is what always is the worst, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you do know that. Well,
yep.
We have a lot of listeners tonight, and
we do.
Oh, my. If you want to talk to us, you do have to press 1, and
yep.
Because otherwise we don't know you want to talk, and we do have a lot of people that have pressed 1, so you might want to just go to the first few. And
we'll go to the first one that's been waiting the longest. Of course, I never screen the first caller. And again, if this is the first time listening to the show, you'll know that I'm speaking to you when I put you into the chat room, or even on the air when I say the last 4 digits of your phone number. So let's go and see who's waiting for us. The caller is 0338. Hello, can I have your name?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Christina, and I am a first-time caller to your show.
And you have a lovely voice, by the way. You have a lovely voice. So whatever you have to say is just going to sound very melodic. So we're glad that you called in, and you must have something on your mind. So why don't you just start gearing the question or telling us what's on your mind, and Nicole and I will try to help you.
Thank you so much. I wanted to know if I was asking for validation. I go to court on the 17th, and I wanted to know if it was going to be ruled in my favor.
Okay, that's a good question, and I know you've been probably losing some sleep over this. And I hope you're trying to relax and that, you know, righteous anger, just the facts, you know, oftentimes help us win a case. I got the justice card on it, and that is a very good card. You know, is it supposed to be finished by then on the 17th? Because it looks like there could be a little delay, but ultimately it's in your favor, so which looks great. And I know you've been really, really upset by this situation. And are you ready to close the door on that and move on from this?
Yes. This is just one part of it, because I believe he's also connected to breaking into my home and vandalizing it on a constant, continual basis for the past year. And so... And then there's a fraud charge, and then he's trying to get out of paying alimony and support by saying, I'm on disability. But really, he's going back to work, and I'm praying that they will not lower the alimony and the support, but that they will actually indeed raise it, because he has a job that he hasn't paid taxes on or disclosed, and I had a lovely picture of it that I gave to my attorney. And I'm praying, please let this whole thing bite him. You know, when he's trying to be so deceitful and ugly. And I know that he's unconscious, so I'm praying to be compassionate and also to forgive him, but to go forward and set boundaries. And he really needs to be reaping what he's sown, because it has been a horrific ordeal, especially with afibrillation, to come home and find blood in my refrigerator and sheets cut up. And you know, it's just ongoing, and I need this to be my year where I'm not afraid that he'll lose his job. If I tell, I have cameras in the house. I'm just praying I can catch him and put an end to it. And found out this morning he's trying to get out of paying alimony and support. So I'm just breathing and bringing in every impulse and everything that comes to mind to just praying that the judge will see this, and that I'll have the DA's report in my hand saying, yes, we are prosecuting him.
And it's funny, because what I saw was a little bit of delays, only because he's pretty slick in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately,
yeah,
you will win. It's all about the money and revenge for him. I mean, he's a true unfixable, your husband. That's what we call them on the show. He's a manipulative judgmental, not accountable human being. Okay. And
yes.
You're not going to change him or fix him. He's an extreme narcissist. But what I saw in the cards is you're sticking with facts. Like, you know, don't name call or anything like that. Just the facts. He's done this, this, that. Because that's what courts love, is the facts. And he may, I'm hoping that your attorney might talk to your husband, your ex's attorney, to let him know that you have pictures of him working and everything, and that he hasn't paid taxes. And if, and you know, once
they've done that,
they've done that
already months ago, and this is the day of reckoning. So I'm praying, like, I'll bring everything in, and oh, you just joined Planet Fitness and you're working out, and you took a job within the company, just saying that you're not going to drive anymore, but really you are. It's just a different type of truck. I want to bring everything and just stick to what I know, and then pictures of him punching with his arm that's supposed to be in a sling, you know, that he's
right.
going back. And if you, I just want to find all of it. And I mean, I have it on my phone, and just go down there and get his account number and give it to the judge, you know, and just please let him see this. And I'm supposed to pick up DA papers where he disclosed in the court papers he had no credit card, but yet he took a one out with my name, my social, my date of birth, and only his
phone
number.
Of course, because he wants to ring up that card and, like, then, you know, in the proceedings show that you have all this debt, okay? I mean, man is like, he's such a conniver. And all you do is you have the facts, and that's called righteous anger. You don't name call, you don't yell, you just present all the facts, because that's how, you know, you're going to win here. He's not going to be happy. Like, the man has to feel like he wins. That's his, like, nature. But
yeah. It
looks like he might get enough fear of God here. First of all, if it comes in court that he's, you know, guilty of tax evasion, I hope his attorney has made it clear to him that the divorce court is going to turn that over to the IRS. Okay, like...
I have a picture of him in the uniform in front of the truck, and
like,
Yelp reviews saying how they did a great job.
Right.
Because I heard
a
voice say Yelp, so that's when I started looking.
Now, isn't it funny, because the dead are always helping us, and we hear something like Yelp or a word, Google it. That's where you can find it. And sometimes, oddly enough, certain things on the internet, you can only kind of look at the moment spirit tells you, because sometimes it's nowhere to be found a week later. So,
I printed it all out, and then the owner tried to say that Yelp's pulling all of the reviews, but I have that plus all the reviews from before that, and when they question him, and I'm praying that when the judge takes a look at this. I also found a letter from him to the Sears, asking the credit card agencies to, on the credit reports, the three of them, Experian is one of them, to erase his records of his credit cards that he had in 2013. So I have that letter. There was a hidden benefit of trust that he never disclosed that he had for 20 years, and I brought that forward. And I'm just hoping the judge will see all of this, and his credibility will be thrown out.
Exactly. And it looks to, you know, it just looks a little bit of a battle, because I think this man doesn't give up easily. But it may be a little delayed. You might not hear what you want to hear yet on the 17th, but it's certainly going to go your way. And, you know,
it'll be raised.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they told me 4,300, and I said, oh, how about 48? And then the voice said, 4,300, and this is probably like 5 months ago, maybe six. And so here we are, moment of reckoning. I was thinking this is just supposed to be the settlement of the property, which is nothing, just the furniture and stuff. And I was wondering, well, how would we even bring up alimony and support? And then this morning I find out that he's actually claiming, I'm not going back to work, I'm on disability, but that's a lie. He's supposed to go back at the end of this month. And, it's in another department of a huge corporation that he works for. So I want to bring that.
Just because, you know, he's not filing his taxes because he thinks that'll, like, you know, but, you know, and then he's going to file them all afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, he's scheming and plotting, this man. But he's crazy like a fox. You know, he's always he spends hours and hours trying to figure all this stuff out. I'm glad you have cameras in the house now, because that would probably discourage him somewhat, because he really doesn't want that on camera. But you are going to ultimately come out very good in this particular case. Try not to get emotional in court, you know, cry, you know, fight your tears, because sometimes judges see when you're crying as manipulation. So, you know, it's okay if you feel like you're going to cry. Just try to, like, stop it. You know what I mean? Don't, like, and whatever you do, don't yell or get mad or name call, because then, you know, the court turns on you. So
yeah,
just stay very calm and let the facts talk. Okay, very calm.
I heard a voice say that he'd be arrested 3 days before we go
to court.
It
looks
to
me like he's I'm seeing other things. This man could be in trouble. He could be arrested or other things. I mean,
he broke into the storage place that he's been cutting my clothes up. And I, in October, rented a storage 5x5, $81, and a month, and he hit that with two other people or one other person that I think are family. And I'm praying, please look at the digital recording. I need help.
Right.
And
they will. He's stupid, because it's not like he's breaking into your garage, okay? Like, you could maybe drop charges if you wanted to. You know what I mean? Like, not that you would. But he's broken into a place where they're not going to take this lightly, because people aren't going to want to put their stuff in a place that's not secure. So this could really affect their business, someone doing something like this. Word gets out, you know, someone broke into my thing, cut up things. So it looks like they are investigating it and want to find
out
the situation.
Thank God, because the guy didn't want to turn over the digital recording, because he was an older gentleman, and I think he was maybe embarrassed that he was having trouble trying to get it, and I said, I need help. And they put me under a different name and moved me, because where I park my car and then walk to my locker, because he tracks my car.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the lockers that were broken into, and it was their interests that they took from strangers. And I'm praying that what I heard is he'll be arrested 3 days before I go to court, and I'm hoping it will be from the storage place. But I know I have cameras in my house, and I'm surprised he hasn't been in here yet. It's been horrible.
It looks to me like he suspects you have put cameras in there now. So,
and that's why he's not coming.
He's not coming. Okay, but the storage place probably didn't want to do much. Wanted to keep it quiet, but it doesn't look good, because it's making the people not want their stuff there. So they have to do something.
Yeah.
They can't.
I was
going
to go talk to the police tomorrow and say, please, he has it. He just is trying to look at himself, and that's your job, not his. Could you please take it from him? I need help. Because they cut my luck off on December 26th, and I was terrified that they were in my locker, so they moved me. And it didn't feel like anybody was in there. When I went in, I was surprised. The energy felt like it was untouched. Maybe it was like a test or something to try to figure out where I was.
Probably. So just know it looks
really
good.
Do you see them, though, prosecuting him for that? Like that they're going to catch him on there?
Yeah, it looks to me like they have to do it, because they just couldn't keep it quiet, because he did other people's stuff. So
yeah.
The man's a little
afraid. And I was telling him,
it looks like he's a little afraid of your husband, or just afraid of the person who might have done this, like of more retaliation. But some of that fear looks like it's going away, and the person's like going to do what they're supposed to do. It's amazing how much people get away with murder, by the way. How people let people get away with murder. And here on our show, you never called him before, but we talk about part of why we're back on Earth is to learn we can't fix people. And you certainly learned you can't fix your husband. He's an unfixable. And two, to punish people. Because if we let people get away with stuff, they just keep on doing it. So there is karmic justice here. And, you know, he's getting scared. In other words, it looks to me like he's not breaking in that place anymore. More because he's really afraid now, you know, realizing that there are cameras and there are stuff. So he seems to be trying to lay low, like, from everything at this point. So he is a little bit scared himself, your husband. So You know, it takes a lot to get him scared.
Eventually come back in, like after the dust clears, because I feel like he's not going to, like he's going to, but right now he's scared that I might have something here.
It looks to me like by time a lot of the stuff that's going to play out in the next few months, he's probably going to be pretty humbled. Like if he gets arrested, he can't get arrested again. Do you know what I mean? Like that will just keep him, like it's not, he won't
so
do what's right.
So hopefully the storage
right.
base will arrest him then.
Right. It looks like they're going to.
That's excellent. And do you think that voice is accurate, that like it'll be next week then?
It
like
looks
Wednesday.
Like yep. And just know.
That is excellent.
Just for you, stay calm, righteous anger, stick with facts. Do not get emotional. Don't cry. Don't yell. Because sometimes they say such lies in court that good people are sick to their stomach over court. And by the time they go, they scream in court. They're like so frustrated. But
yeah.
He's going to try to, like, goat you and, you know, get you to, like, think that, you know, that you're wrong and gaslight all kinds of things in court. So you just stay calm and let the facts talk for themselves. And remember,
and
you do have a very melodic voice and a very sweet and truthful-sounding voice. And just speak with that tone that you're speaking to me here, you know, that calm, factual
yeah,
voice.
Because the shock of how he is I'm over it. You know, he put a picture of me bald saying I was talking to E.T. and aliens and angels and tried to take the children a year ago. And then it's just been so much torture that I've been emotional torture and fear and sadness discovering it's not just the cheating. It's not just burning through family finances and hiding retirement accounts. It's going to be physical if the next step is to be physical to hurt me. And so I'm just praying that all is well and that I'm protected and that I'm going to be okay. But what I've done is multiple police reports and documenting every time I come home when I've got carbon monoxide everywhere and he's pulled out the air duct or opened the doors to the Mustang and the battery's dead, and I don't know if he messed with the engine, cut up my sheets, cut up my furniture. I don't know where the blood came from. He probably just got it from, like, a butcher shop and just filled my refrigerator, and that was horrible. And then my eggs floating a few days later in water. It's like childish pranks that make me deeply saddened that, you know, it would be a lot better if you just paid the alimony and support and left me alone. And,
yeah,
and
sure
instead
be.
You're going to lose your job and go to jail. I don't think he's ever been held accountable.
That's why it looks – 2020 is supposed to be a year, by the way, where the unfixables start to be held accountable and the good people with clear vision who are starting to see these people are unfixables. It's not our job to fix them or save them. It's our job to punish them and see that justice is done. It's supposed to be a very good year. So you're in the right – moment in time with this, and have you ever tried to get an order of protection against him?
I did, but this is what happened. I tried to get a restraining order, but my attorney said because you don't have him on, you don't have him recorded, you'll just come off looking crazy and delusional, and I will not represent you. She's 26 years in. She said, get the cameras, and then we can get him. And he's never been able to go. He feels like he has every right to come up in this house. And he's never been able to go more than 2 weeks without being in my home and vandalizing and taking things and scaring me. And so I'm just curious to see if he's going to not be able to stay away. But it's all going to be recorded, though. That's the thing.
It looks to me like he's got the sense of that. So he might not do it, but the point is, to go to court, say what you have to say, do what you have to do. But if he, like, threatens you or anything like that, you know, try to have your, you know, have it on recording, put your cell phone on when he's around or whatever, or the cameras, and catch him at it. He's pretty slick, this guy, you know, but he looks to me like he's slipped up a lot. He's crossed the, he's crossed the line by vandalizing something that's not yours in your house, okay? Like,
oh, he did. He tore off what it was the sliding glass door. He broke chunks of it off with some sort of object to break in. And then inside the fireplace, he ripped off a metal bar that actually opens the flap to the chimney. And that those expenses are really probably very expensive to replace. And then it was also the heater. We're freezing at night because he did something to the freezer, and we're piling up with blankets, and I can't use all my wood because the smoke comes into the house, and my kids and I are cold. I have to not cry.
Right, because these are the things that, you know, you want to discuss with your lawyer, and, like, and it, you know, it looks to me like he's crossed the line a little bit here, and, you know, it's one thing he wants to be vengeful to a grown-up at you, but he's being very hurtful to his children. The universe doesn't take lightly to that. So
yeah,
keep praying and bring in spirit guides when you go into court, because they tend to be the ones that pop thoughts into a judge's head, you know.
I've been praying, like, please, you know, that voice said 4,300, and I was like, how about 48? 4,300, because right now I'm making ends meet on a credit card and a federal grant and student loans to be able to eat and have gas, because I need the alimony and support to be raised. And so I'm hoping that when he sees this, he will raise that, and that it'll just be such a miracle. And so that I'm a grandmother, I'm 51, and he does not want me going to college, and I have a full year under my belt, and I want to work with children, and I'm like, God, help me, because he's going to lose his job, and I'm thinking it's probably June or September, and it'll be gone because of, you know, the fraud and, you know, breaking into stuff.
Well, let's just hope that they punish him enough to keep him working so you can get your money, okay?
Like, yeah, well, it would
and
give
if you
me
get
at least
your money,
6 months.
Then they could throw him in jail for the rest of his life. So,
would you still get alimony and support, like, even if you're, you know what I'm saying? Like, because with the money, it says $10,000, but he fired his attorney, took 3 or 4 months to respond, and I have a feeling it's a lot more than what we think. And I'm praying,
yeah,
please, God, let it be.
Right. And
let it,
like,
be more.
It looks to me like it is. And so do us a favor and call in again and let us know what happens, because I need to take some other callers tonight. So
okay.
Call
You're
in
amazing,
let us
by
know.
The way.
Our prayers are with you. And
okay.
You described
him to a T. Like, I was thinking, oh, my goodness, she's the real deal. And I wrote the name of the show. I'm a first-time caller. And I'm, for anyone that's going to get a reading, like, you're telling me things. There's absolutely no way you could know unless you're really feeling and reading the energy of a situation. And I just want to thank you. And
oh, you're
I'll
welcome.
Not cry. Mm-hmm. I'm
and
just,
remember,
you know,
the word we use is unfixable, manipulative, judgmental.
Unfixable.
Not
I've
not
been trying to fix him and protect
him. And remember,
and
that's
the
karmic lesson. He's an unfixable, and we're back on earth to learn to punish people and to stop being the great crap takers and the great enablers, because we've enabled
these
monsters.
Me, and I'm not going to do that anymore. And your words are like a nice comforter to me, like Archangel Gabriel's when he said, Tina, be not afraid of change, for
right.
I will be with thee. 2010.
Exactly.
Thank
well,
you. Many blessings.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Thank you. Many
Bye.
Blessings.
Good
Bye.
Night.
Okay. Now,
oh,
boy, you know, these are the people that, you know, we just can't stand, the ones who, like they just keep bullying, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to me like he's going to end up, you know, really, you know, getting his just desserts. I just don't want him to get them too fast. I want her to get her money.
Absolutely.
And then after that, let the universe go after him.
Exactly.
Now we have Keisha, okay, and she wants to know about love. Anyone new? Has she ever called in before, Keisha?
You know what? I don't know. I didn't ask her if she called in before, but, you know, she's been single for about 6 years now, Cindy, and she thinks she's ready now after being single for 6 years, and she wants to know what her cards say for this lovely, lovely 2020.
Okay.
Hello, Keisha. You are on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Keisha. She's another one with a great voice. I think it feels like we're making all these people call with great voices tonight. Keisha, you've been single, and I like the way 6 years, because relationships or lack of them tend to work in five-year cycles. So you stood on your own 2 feet without a person for 5 years, emotionally, psychologically, mm-hmm. financially, and spiritually. And that's when the prince or princess comes. So you're this is supposed to be your year for love. You were listening to our last caller. Did you get the need to fix people out of your system?
Yes. So I think the last one, I don't know what's got with him. I don't really care, but I just want to really concentrate on the future at this point. So yeah, I think I had I was just like her. I was in a situation similar, you know, to her, like years ago, but it took me years to kind of see where I was going wrong at and concentrate on what I really need to be concentrating on in order to be in a healthy relationship, you know. So,
well, that's yeah. What's great, because, you know, I'm glad we got to preface the last listener, because we need to learn, you know, you're a very old soul. You've had a lot of lifetimes, and older souls are here mm-hmm. to learn. You can't fix people, punish people. And we're here to learn it's better to be alone than with people who are not good.
Uh-huh.
And you've learned those lessons. So there's only so many lessons in suffering, and you've learned mm-hmm. the lessons. Now the rest of your life lessons should be learned through love, peace, and joy. And mm-hmm. Do you do anything to find anyone? Do you get out there at all?
Not at the moment. I'm just kind of seeing what might be out there for me, but I have been kind of moving a little bit, but I'm kind of, I don't know, just hoping that something, you know, within the next year, maybe something come up for me. Maybe this is the year I find somebody to grow some roots with and settle down, you know? So,
right.
But right now, no, I don't really.
Make a little bit of a plan how you're going to meet somebody. It's like when you're going to looking for a job. You can't just sit in your bedroom and say, I want a job. You have to get out there, put resumes out there, get out there. So kind of get out of your comfort zone once a month or so. Maybe go where you mm-hmm. can meet some new people, because not necessarily going out to find a man. It's just getting out there to meet new people, because as
your
we
hobbies.
Meet
yeah.
follow your hobbies. Follow your interests, because, you know, you meet a new girlfriend or a new friend, they could invite you at a party or an event, and that's right. how you could, you know, begin to, you know, meet this person. So get yourself a little bit out there. You're definitely due for a soulmate. I mean, this is a really strong connection showing here, that heart, soul, mind, body connection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's what you want. I mean, if you wanted just a man to fit a plan, you would already be with somebody.
I can go outside and flag one down. Yeah, I know. So
you want the real deal.
That's not what I want.
And it does show this is your year of meeting someone, but if you don't get out there, it's going to be hard. And I'm not a huge fan of online dating. It's okay. It's not. It's just, sometimes if you just go online, it's kind of just telling the universe you are looking. And, you know, maybe you just need to signal to the universe by getting out and meeting
mm-hmm.
people that I'm serious about, you know, finding that person. Because I see a little mm-hmm. bit of fear here. You're a little bit afraid, and you might have become what I call a closet commitment phobic. You want love, but you've been scared because you've been hurt before.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to just overcome some of those fears a little bit. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, by just... You know, you're not the same person you used to be, okay? Your judgment's a lot better. The problem is why we still get a little afraid of love is, you know, the blinders, when they come off and we start seeing people for who they are, it tends to work when we don't like people. When we love people or really like them, the blinders can sometimes go back on. So my assignment for you, when you start meeting someone, like, we've been brainwashed to see the good in people, okay? And that mm-hmm. means we ignore the bad. You know, looking back on my life with relationships, there were so many red flags that I ignored, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I'm stupid. It's just that when we like people, we just, I don't know, put it in a place where we just deny it. So when you
love
meet
them.
People, write down,
mm-hmm.
like, any red flags. Like, well, he said this, but that didn't sound like what he said yesterday. You know, write them down, because this way you won't go into denial. Okay. And, you know, if with your relationships, looking back, do you know with like the guy that was abusive, didn't you see a plenty of red flags before you got involved with him?
No, it was plenty. Yes. But I just kept on forgiving. I was like, oh, he was just this, and I can fix him, or, you know, I love him and blah, 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 and he'll grow out. That's what I was thinking. I can heal him and he'll become better. But, yeah, of course, he healed before the next person, but that's after he did everything he, you know, did to me. And then the next lady, like, he was 100% cool with this lady, treated her everything like I was trying to get him to do, everything that I wanted him to be for me, he was to the next female who he married. So, which was crazy. But.
Well, maybe your job was to teach him to be a better man, okay? And for you now, you know, don't ignore red flags in the future, okay? And this man that's coming is a really nice man. He's very hardworking. He's a man of his word. He's kind. Mm-hmm. You know, he likes being in a serious relationship. Also, you've been out in the dating world a long time now, and the world has changed in the last 5 and 6 years, worse than ever. Where the men
I don't even want to. That's why I don't want to go out there. See, that's why I don't want to date. You're right.
So I picked up on the closet commitment phobia. But how you can deal with the world now is, you know, men don't want to commit to women. They don't need to commit to women because women do not demand it. Tinder, you know, men swipe and have sex. What the hell they need to commit to somebody? And we always have an expression on the show, Tinderellas do not become Cinderellas, okay? So, you know, a booty call is going to stay a booty call. So it's when you meet a man after 2-3 dates, you have to have the talk that you're looking for a serious relationship. You don't date people who are dating other people. You don't want drama. You don't want disease. So if you want to date me, it's only me. Doesn't mean you have to marry me, but, like, for 3 months at least, let's commit and see, like, what happens at the 3-month mark. But Don't let the men call all the shots. You know, too many of my clients call in, they're about dating somebody for a year. Like, they don't know what they are to each other. Not boyfriend, girlfriend. They don't know what the hell they are. And I'm like, did you have the talk about being exclusive? And they're like, well, I assume it's because we see each other 4 times a week. I go, you're going to assume yourself into an STD. And then they're called like 6 months later, I found out he's with someone else as well. I go, well, he didn't really cheat on you because you didn't have the talk. You know, like, have the talk. And you remember, if you're out in the dating world now, men think, you know, 3 dates and you have to have sex with me. No, you don't. Okay, like, it's like weird rules. The men are really commanding the dating world right now. And unless a woman is strong enough to, like, say no. So if you want commitment, then you have to, like, let it be known from the beginning.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to find yourself in a situation where it may go nowhere, the relationship.
Okay.
And it's just a sad testament. And the women sometimes are as bad as the men now, too, because I have plenty of male clients and I have plenty of lesbian clients complaining about the same thing, that people aren't.
Everybody's looking.
You know, everybody's kind of caught this, like, 21st century, you know, we don't have to commit. And you're kind of old-fashioned from what I could see here. So if you're old-fashioned, don't be afraid to state it from the beginning. So that you don't find yourself being hurt later on.
In a situation. Yep.
Right. And, of course, it's too late to tell someone you don't sleep with people who sleep with other people, you know, after you've slept with them. It's before you sleep, please. Say it before, you know. And some men are going to run away, like, look like you have 8 heads. That's fine. You know, that's fine. And, you know, commitment phobics are going to run, you know, no matter what you do, but it's better off not to get in a situation. Because I don't want you getting jaded if you have that happen 1 or 2 times when you're out in the dating world. You might really say, I don't want this anymore. So just be aware, because you're going to meet a soulmate, and, you know, but you do have to get out of your comfort zone. So figure out where you're going to go, courses you could sign up for, or meetups. You know, or, you know, just fun events, but not necessarily single events, because those are kind of uptight. They're not always, you know, there's like, there's like so few women and, like, you know, a lot of women and so few men at those oftentimes. So they're not so fun for women.
Right.
But call in and let us know what happens. by the way.
I will.
You know, you're very brave. And just saying, asking about your love life here, you've told the universe, I really am ready for love now.
Right, I am.
You don't want to be alone forever, right?
No, not forever. Okay.
Okay, well, good luck to you, and thanks for sharing your story with us.
No problem. Thank you for hearing me out. God bless. Bye.
Bye. Okay, now we have Denise. I know who Denise is. Okay, but can you just tell me, like, a little bit about her, our listeners, so they can know?
Oh, yes. And this is going to be a good one for you, Cindy. So, Denise has called into our show before. She has been a widow for about 18 years now. She was widowed 18 years ago. She has finally met a man. And this is not, you know, a stranger. This is someone who was, like, literally down the street, whose, you know, kids grew up with her kids. And he, too, is now recently widowed. Okay, and, you know, they started getting together. They started talking. Ironically enough, she mentions your name, and he runs into the other room, and he grabs your book, Cindy. So he completely knows who you are. He's very spiritual. You know, it seemed like things were going very, very well. You know, they were on the same page. Well, after spending a lot of time together and after, you know, having all of the right discussions, all of a sudden New Year's comes, and as wonderful as he is and this and that, you know, he starts talking about how he's got an appointment, whatever, he's getting a reading from somebody. And then, you know, he says something that's kind of odd. And that kind of odd thing is, well, one of the people that read me said I belong with one of the girls at the gym, and this is getting kind of deep. So she was, of course, taken aback by that, because it's a very, very hurtful thing to say. And now, after spending every weekend together and after speaking to each other, you know, quite often, he did call the next day to apologize, but she hasn't heard from him since. So she wants to know what gives, Cindy, and what could possibly be going through this guy's head.
Now, isn't it funny that he ran in and had my book? Don't you find that to be like...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not a little cosmic connection that these two are meant to be? Like,
yeah, I gave her my little rundown, and then I said I was going to let you do your thing, and I'm very, very curious to see if you're going to say exactly what I said to her. So let's go out and speak to Denise, and then Denise will give you a little bit more on her situation. Hello, Denise. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you? Hi. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Now, a thing about people when they get readings, and, you know, the thing about being a reader is it's a serious profession, okay, that you don't say things lightly or casually, because everybody hangs on to every word a reader says, okay? So, you know, if a reader says, oh, you're supposed to be with somebody you met at the gym, someone's going to hold on to that, you know, whether that's the truth or not. And it looks to me like, you know, he's got some commitment phobia going on now, like, you know, afraid of, like, this higher love and where it's going. Because what I could see here is, you know, I got the first card I got was a soulmate card for you guys, okay? And does he have Grant Me a Higher Love? Is that the book he has?
He had two of your books.
Both of my books?
Yep.
That's really unusual, okay? Because, yeah, my books have sold a decent amount of copies, but I'm not I haven't sold a million copies, okay? So the fact that he would have had both of those books, okay, would mean that, you know, he's a man certainly looking for a higher love, okay? So did you feel like, yeah, I know before when you've known him a long time, and soulmates often know each other 10, 20, 30 years.
Both of us were married to people that were chronically ill. So although we were both married and lived down the block, my husband, I was a caretaker, and he was a caretaker. He knew my husband briefly. I knew his wife better because our kids played together. but our marriages weren't true marriages in the sense of the word, because we were busy taking care of our spouses and their health issues. And, you know, you had told me the last time I spoke, you're going to find somebody when you least expect it. Well, I walked the neighborhood every day, and this particular day, there was Tony. And we started talking, and he invited me in. The next thing I know, there's his number on my door, and then he invited me to dinner. And I'll make a long story short because I know we don't have a lot of time. But then Sunday morning, there's Danish on the door, and he's texting me. And we even go out to a restaurant, and an older couple is waving to him. And I go to the ladies' room, and when I come back, the gentleman says, "You two, I know that you're not married, but, oh, my God, you can feel the energy between the two of you."
Oh, yeah, because soulmates are a beacon of light for the world to see.
And
that's for sure.
It was New Year's Eve. We spent it with my family. And like I said, he literally is down the block. So we go back to his house, and it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and he says, "Oh, my God, you're so passionate. Are you always like this?" I said, "No." Now, we're together 2 months. And he said, "Oh, my God, I am such a lucky man." He said, "But that's where it gets complicated." I said, "Okay." So I sat down. He says, "I have my reading on Sunday." So I said, "Well, one of the questions about me?" And he starts giggling. He said, "Of course it's about you." That's where the complication comes in, because Neil told me I'm going to be with Donna from the gym. And I just felt like my heart fell on the floor and the cat ate it.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to say too much. I don't want to say too much, but what I'm seeing in this is that's a totally wrong reading, okay? Like, it's not accurate that he's going to meet somebody.
No, he's already met this person. They know each other from the gym for years, and she's supposed to leave her boyfriend. They
right.
know each and, other at the gym for years.
Okay, then, and he's known her for years, but why all of a sudden now is it that this is coming up now that he has you, that he's going to be with her when he hasn't been with her? You know, God doesn't bring two soulmates at the same time. So even if those two had possibly been a soulmate when they first met.
Because they were both with, she was with somebody and his wife was alive.
Right.
So then I don't know how I fit in the picture, if that was the case.
Right, because God doesn't bring two soulmates at the same time. Why would he suddenly bring, you now if he was still had another soulmate? Okay, God doesn't do that. But think you're going to bring it to rip your heart out? So obviously now, he might, gotten afraid. He's afraid of getting involved, and so now he's kind of running and using this as an excuse. And the fact that he's ghosted and disappeared from you is not kind. You realize that that's an unkind thing to do. And have you tried to contact him since?
Well, tomorrow I have a card to put in his mailbox, and the envelope says, "Tony, missing for over a week. If you have any information, please contact," as a joke. I mean, his wife literally, we probably started seeing each other a week or two after his wife died. So he's got a lot, and I get that, and I kept telling him, "I can still just be friends at this point. I can be easy breezy. I can be..." And I told him I didn't want to be a friend with benefits. I didn't want to be a booty call. We went through all the things that you're telling all your other people not to do. We
right.
went through all the conversations.
Right, but it looks to me like he's afraid, and he's trying to I don't know if I'm ready for this. This other person make me in my life. Blah blah blah. And, and it's funny because 2 onto 3 month is where the prince becomes the beast sometimes. Okay, the first 2 months, soulmate love is so strong it overcomes fear. 2 months onto 3 months is when fear starts kicking in. And this man got afraid. And, of course, I'm an expert on soulmates. I'm not saying he didn't have some sort of connection with this gym lady at one point. But he's been brought another soulmate into his life. The universe already registered that that wasn't going to go anywhere anytime soon. And now all of a sudden, maybe even she's thinking, well, he's got somebody else and now she
you know, is getting scared and giving him messages that she wants to be with him or whatever. But, you know, I love the way you handle it with a sense of humor, but 2 on 3, he's really getting afraid. And he's, you know, and anybody who's, you know, read it like Grant Mayer Love or been in possession of it, you know, is looking for a higher love. Okay, he's not looking for something that's not a higher love. And, you know, he probably asked the question to a psychic, you know, did he ask which one am I supposed to be with? Is that what he asked?
I don't know. I haven't spoke to him since his reading, so I don't know what the answer was yet.
Okay, and there's no denying the soulmate connection here, but he's running away afraid. And, you know, you very gently, you know, told him you'd like to hear from him. Commitment phobics are otherwise nice people that do something very cruel. What he's doing is cruel right now.
I don't think he's a commitment phobic because, I mean, him and I both could have walked away from our spouses at any given point or been unfaithful.
But he might not have been one when he first met her. But, you know, after she died, it can kick in commitment phobia, being afraid to love somebody who could die on us.
Well, that's
you know,
true.
So it's and so he might be just getting scared shitless because he feels this strong connection to you, like, oh, my God, what if I love her and she dies on me? I can't deal with that again. So, like, let me have 1 foot with this other girl and 1 foot with her. This way I won't be alone. It could really have kicked in a massive fear of loving somebody who could die on him at this point. And, you know, again, the first 2 months, the love is so strong, fear does not kick in. But like clockwork, 2 months onto 3 is when commitment phobia kicks in or fears kick in. And so, you know, but what he's doing right now is cruel, not to answer you. And it's not, he's a nice person, this guy. I mean, I'm not saying that he's not a nice person, but he's a nice person that's doing something cruel. To ghost someone hurts. Doesn't it hurt that he's ghosting you and disappearing?
That's why I'm on the phone with you.
Mm-hmm. And he's an otherwise nice person.
I want to run him over.
Right. And I don't blame you. And, you know, basically, you don't want to let him call all the shots to be a man who's going to say, well, you could be this, but not that. Like, if he wants
he's
to
not
pursue...
That, he's not that type. Well, the time that we were dating, he's never been that way. It's always been, you know, well, what do you want? Well, let's decide this together.
Right, but now all of a sudden he's got this, at the 2 month mark, the fear kicked in really bad. He gets a reading and the guy, you know, puts a thought in his head, you know, you're supposed to be with the girl at the gym. And now, you know, all of a sudden he's like, oh, maybe I should pursue her. Okay. Now, she may be a woman to fit a plan on the ladder of love, a mediocre version of love. It's not the highest level, but if you're afraid of commitment, that level of love people can commit to because it doesn't demand we heal our issues. It doesn't bring up a lot of big issues. We don't even fear that they may die on us because that level of love is pretty replaceable. And, you know, with you, it seems like he got just so scared because you guys got pretty close pretty quickly, you know, all of a sudden. And I think it took him by surprise. But, you know, he has children, by the way, because it looks like kids are showing up.
Yes.
Because, you know, for his children and your children, everybody needs to see that, you know, you have one great love and that person dies on us, we get another soulmate. I mean, it's a good thing for the kids to see so they're not afraid of love. Okay, so the universe brought you guys together. How long have you known him? Do you know how many years? Because relationships
30.
Tend to work. Okay, that's 6 5-year cycles. Because always with a soulmate, there's got to be a 5-year. I met him 30 years ago. You know what I mean? It has to be like a 5-year period when they're brought together. It would be 5, 10, but you're the 30-year mark. And, you know, my feelings with you is I wouldn't chase him anymore at this point. Like, you let him know that kindly and with a little bit sense of joke that, you know, he should contact you. Wait till he contacts you now again. And, have a talk with him that the ghosting is like, not something that's so acceptable in your world. and ask him. Does he? So what does he want to do? What did the psychic say? So now you're going to, you know, you want to date her. Is that what you want to do? Just make it clear that he can't have his cake and eat it too. I mean, his wife is livid on the other side, by the way. And so is your husband. They're both livid. Because they soulmate love comes from God and someone's died. Those guys brought you together. You think they're happy with this? And they're not. Okay? And that's why when, you know, a reader reads someone, they have to be careful. Like he might have been mentioning the girl that he was drawn to in the gym to the reader. But, you know, if I was reading him, I would have said, it looks to me like you're afraid of commitment. You have this soulmate, and now you're trying to run away afraid. And I would explain the difference of a soulmate and a woman to fit a plan. Okay, and, you know, and said, you know, your 2 to 3 months is when the fear kicks in, and you might just be afraid. But, you know, at this point, then if you hear
us together or you don't see us together?
Well, I see that, you know, that there's a very strong connection here, and that the arrangement of cards that I got is if he doesn't run away afraid, you guys have like a really, really, really great love affair here. But now he's running away afraid, so I don't want you to enable him. Okay, which means, like, don't be the kind, like, he could see her and you. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely that's, not.
Like, don't enable him to have 1 foot with her, 1 foot with you. And, you know, when people can ghost, it does show that they have a certain amount of narcissism. I could never ghost anybody, not even a stranger. Like, even, you know, people who, you know, I don't have to answer them, but I do. Because it's like I don't ghost people. That's rude. And, you know, the fact that he's ghosting you, it means it's about his fear and about him. He doesn't want to, he doesn't know what to say. He's terrified. He doesn't, so commitment phobics kind of say nothing because they're afraid to put their foot in their mouth or they don't know what to say. And, you know, the fact that he brought up the girl in the gym, his wife just went like this. Well, you know, he's kind of trying to get you to run away. Like, you're going to be like, oh, you're into her now. Well, I don't need this crap. And you run away because he doesn't know if he fears loving you more or losing you. So if you run away because he said that, then it's not his fault this fell apart, is it? It would be yours. So I wouldn't, like, you know, I would just say, look, if you're, you know, you need to pursue her, is that what you want? That's fine. You know, I'm not going to see you and at the same time. And if I'm still around when you make up your mind, then, you know, give me a call. You know, but he's got to really, you know, realize that he's running away afraid. That's what's happening here. And, you know, these two were connecting on and off for a couple of years now, you said, you know, like they were, you know, they were both in a relationship. And, you know, why now, you know, after, you know, he could have been with her or tried to be with her last year. Why now?
Because of the death of his wife.
Right. And how long ago did she die?
October.
Okay. But he didn't pursue her in October or November.
Because she's still with someone.
Right. And I don't see her leaving that person so quickly here either. And, you know, he's just really running away afraid. I mean, she just died, his wife. And believe me, that fear of loving somebody could die and him's kicking in. You've been widowed a long time, but don't you remember that fear being very real?
Oh, absolutely. That's why I said to him, Tony, I totally get where you are. That's why I'm just going to, you know, be kind of easy breezy. You know, I'm not putting any pressure on you because you've got a lot of stuff to work out. And he said, well, something about telling the kids, I said, we don't have to say anything to your kids for, they're not ready for this right now.
Right. You're like, for six
they're
months
not ready
or
for
a year,
this.
You just keep it quiet anyway so that you don't have anybody interfering with the soulmate relationship. You just get solid, and a year from now, you bring it forth out of respect for her, you know?
Yeah.
And she wants him to be happy. So does your husband. She, like, said he, you know, he sacrificed so much of his life to take care of her. And she wants him to be happy now. You know, so it's not, but she would, of course, out of respect for her, want him to not bring this so forward, okay, in a minute, okay? So But that doesn't mean the two of you couldn't get to know each other for a year, you know, keep it quiet and you know, enjoy each other and then bring it forward.
That's what I said.
But it just seems like he's running away afraid. He's looking for, like, okay, but I have feelings for this other woman, you know. And that's a relationship that maybe would last 3 to 6 months, by the way.
I think that he held on to something in his head, because I was a caretaker, something that a psychic told him as a security blanket for when he was so stressed. That was an escape in his head where he could go. And now that everything happened and then I came in the picture and his wife died and everything just kind of like hit him all at once. That's the insight that I got, or what the voice that I heard, you know.
Right.
I don't think that she's for him. I'm not saying that I am, but if she was for him, he would have never let me in.
Right, exactly. So right now he's just like looking for some reason to maybe run away from this love. So, you know, see it for what it is, and maybe he just needs a little space or whatever, or time. But, you know, ultimately, you know, what his wife and your husband want is for you guys to be together. It'd be a good example of love for your children and his children to see. And, but he's just scared. What I just see, he's running scared.
Well, okay. I'll put the card in his mailbox and...
Right, that's what you do. And can you call in again, like let us know with updates, because, you know, I'd like to guide you and help you through this as much as I can, because you guys are meant to be together. You know, 45% of people are offered soulmate love, 1% maintain it. That's the scary part about it, because their fears get in the way and sabotage it. But there are children involved here that need to see if you love your spouse or someone completely and they die, you get another shot at a really good love. Okay, that's an important thing to show people. A really important thing. So, you know, keep me posted. He's just scared is what I see here. And,
I will keep you posted, and I have to check on Nicole and see how she's feeling too.
Okay,
yes,
good.
And,
okay, and don't forget, we're here for you, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
God bless.
Bye.
Good
now,
night.
Nicole, I don't know if I told her what you would tell her, but... you know,
I actually, what I said to her was very, very similar to what you said. I said, what I'm seeing here, you know, just, you know, from what I've picked up over the years from you, Cindy, and my own intuition is that he had somebody die on him. And, you know, you guys are getting very, very close, very, very fast. And, you know, he probably feels the realness of that situation. And you know what? It's easier for him to push you away than it is to face the facts that if he enters into this, that eventually one of these days you two are going to die, you know? And I don't know that that's something that he could bear. He would rather have somebody that, you know, that he doesn't like so much, or that he doesn't love so much, that he doesn't have as much potential with, because then it's easier to let them go when and if that would happen. So I kind of said that, you know, something very, very similar to what you said.
Yeah. And that's what I saw, kicking fears. And, you know,
yeah,
and
listen,
also
I mean,
that's
his
why,
wife died,
you know, like
2 months ago. He might need
and,
a rebound.
You know what? When I do readings, I really try to look for people's fears. Why you have someone that you feel this deep connection to, and now you kind of want to go check out this other person that, you know, isn't that great, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? And also, people hear different things when they get readings. Sometimes, you know, we don't know. Like, I'm sure that this other psychic, if they're reputable, did not say, well, Donna at the gym is the one for you. I'm sure that the conversation probably went some, you know, like, you know what? I can see you with somebody at the gym. Is there a girl at the gym? You know, things like that in a more broader sense, you know, and he's saying, oh yeah, that must be Donna. You know, so what he's putting on it and the importance that he's putting on it might be different than, you know, and what the other psychic had said may be very, very different from what he heard, you know, and he wants to hear that, because he's afraid. So it's like, oh, well, you know, what if I make a mistake? What if I wind up with this one when I should be with that one? And, you know, what if I really like this one and then it doesn't work out? And, you know, and he's going through a lot of things. And the bottom line is,
Maybe he needs to be with this chick Donna for a little while. Maybe he needs a rebound. I don't know how long I didn't hear how long he was married. But you know what?
Yeah,
after you're married for a long time, yeah, after you're married for a long time and you know, you're newly widowed or whatever, you're meaning that you're newly single, you know, you don't necessarily want the real deal right away. You know, and maybe that's what's spooking him. It's like, oh my God, am I really getting into another long-term relationship here? You know,
although I would tell him that love comes from God. God knows what time it's on the planet. Okay.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you.
God knows what time it's on. Love is always on time. Okay. We might not be ready for it, but love is always on time. So,
very punctual. But yeah,
well,
so we're on the same line there, Cindy, and hopefully,
well, I told
you, know,
I figured as much you would
humor,
you would pick
love
up on that. But I just think it's not a coincidence that she walks in and he has two of my books.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, come on, you know, and that I know her and I know him. Come on, that's
that's. I think that it's definitely a sign, and it's a sign that right now I think he's ignoring because of that fear, you know, and I kind of think that the reason why he hasn't reached out to her is nothing more than the fact that he feels really, really foolish. You know, I don't think that he's not reaching out to her because he's ghosting her. I think that he realizes that he may have just fucked this up and he doesn't know what to say.
Exactly.
You know, so I think that her, you know, I think that Denise using the Kit Club approach, you know, getting something funny in the mail, you know, something along those lines. It goes along with how they met, you know. So her, I think, doing that and breaking the ice for him may set him at ease to have a better conversation and one that's a little bit more honest than, you know, than fear-based.
Right, exactly. Well, she'll call in again, and I hope Christina calls
in
again,
too. Yes, I hope so.
And,
absolutely, absolutely.
Well, we had some really interesting calls tonight.
We did.
And very interesting show. Well, thank you, Nicole. And you sound a little better. I felt bad that you were working when you're sick, but I have to tell you, you sound a little better than you did before. Okay,
that's because the phone was on mute, and I had a coughing fit for about 20 minutes, and a lot of things cleared up in that fit, so I'm feeling a lot better right now.
you were pumping Grant Me a Higher Love adrenaline there, and that, like,
I was sending
you some healing love. Get that phlegm out, get it out, and move on.
Exactly. Well, that's what happened. So it was lovely over on this end. You know, thank God there's a mute button on the phone. Otherwise, I may have had to hang up.
Well, thank you for everything, and we'll all speak next week. Bye, everybody.
See you next week, Cindy. Bye-bye.
Bye.